Luke chapter 2, verse 33 to verse 40. All right, so I'm going to continue on from last week. Last week, we talked about this guy named Simeon, and we talked about how the baby Jesus came to the temple, and there were two people in the temple. Even though there were a lot of people present at the temple, there were two people only that recognized Jesus. One of them was Simeon. And we talked about how the reason why Simeon was able to recognize Jesus was because he was led by the Holy Spirit. That ultimately the Holy Spirit's job, the Holy Spirit's agenda is not for your best life now, or not, at least not as we know it. It is, Holy Spirit won't lead us to a life that we think we want, but he will lead us to a life that he knows we need. Amen. And Holy Spirit's agenda, his primary agenda, is to lead you to Jesus. And we talked about how Simeon, he said, "I have now seen your salvation." And we talked about how Jesus is your salvation. How in modern times, they talk about all these different things as your salvation. And they talk about Jesus as an instrument to get those things. And they say, hey, if you just believe in Jesus well, if you're a strong believer, then you'll have all these things as if those things are our salvation, but they're not. And ultimately, Jesus alone is our salvation. Amen. And we talked about how there's three ways that I mentioned, three ways in which we can learn to be led by the Holy Spirit better. Number one, to read the word. Because Holy Spirit will never contradict his word, his written word. Number two, prayer. As you learn to converse with him more and more, you learn to be able to recognize his voice. And number three, having a heart of obedience. As you do that, he will lead you to more of Jesus. That the salvation of our lives, the purpose of our lives, and I know I'm kind of repeating stuff, but I'm doing it on purpose to set up the stage for today. The purpose of our lives is not a job. The purpose of your life is not a spouse. The purpose of your life is Jesus. No matter where you're at, no matter what circumstances you are in, that is a unique place that God has set apart for you to be able to recognize him and to meet him more. Amen. Now, today, we're going to talk about the other person in the temple who recognized Jesus. Her name is Anna. Everybody give Anna a shout. Let's go, Anna. Amen. Amen. And it says, Anna, it says in verse 36. It says she was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage. And then she was a widow. So her husband died after 7 years, which sucks, until she was 84 years old. And then it says she never left the temple, but worship night and day and fasting and praying. And today, last week we talked about prayer. Today I'm going to talk about fasting and prayer. Amen. So can we turn to Mark chapter 9? Put your finger or put like a divider thing or something there. And then go to chapter 9 of Mark. Now in this passage, we see the disciples, and they bring this boy who is demon-possessed to the disciples. And then, it is, if you see in verse 17, a man, well, what are you arguing about, Jesus says. In verse 17, a man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." All right, so this is a situation. They brought this demon-possessed kid to the disciples. And if you look at a parallel passage, you see how the disciples are asking Jesus, how come we couldn't drive the demon out? And I love that because for them now, success, for them to see God move became normal. Amen? That, to the point where if you look at the end of the passage, it says, They asked Jesus why, if it says in verse 28, after Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" And I love that because they were puzzled that God didn't move. Nowadays, we get surprised when God moves. We're like, whoa, God actually answered my prayer. But the disciples had gone to a place now where they were so used to seeing God move. Hallelujah. And that is the normal life of a Christian. We are to get to a place where we become so used to God moving, to the point where when God does not move, we get surprised. So they bring Jesus and they're like, Jesus, can you help this boy? And Jesus just casts out the demon, just like that. He says, get out, demon. And the demon leaves. And what I wanted to talk about there is Jesus, right after casting it out, they ask him, hey, how come we couldn't cast out the demon? He replies, this kind can only be cast out by prayer and fasting. I love that. For second point I want to make is Jesus did not say, you couldn't do this because I am God and you are not. Whenever we see Jesus move in the Gospels, what we got to realize is Jesus is not moving as God. He's God. He's perfectly God, but he completely limited himself to the point of man. He limited himself as man. So everything that Jesus does in the scriptures, in the Gospels, he does as a human being. Amen. He does as a human being empowered by the Holy Spirit. He's moving as a role model for us to reach, not as an impossible ideal that we cannot reach. If he was moving as God, there's no point trying to follow his footsteps. Why? We're not God. We're just humans. But Jesus, he did everything as human being. Someone said Jesus was the most normal human being that ever walked on this earth. This Jesus came as a human being to show us what it looks like as a person who is completely filled and led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I love that the disciples are asking, because the disciples know, disciples came to a point where they were like, Jesus, if you did it, I should be able to do it. Do you guys get it? Like if you saw Jesus do something today, if Jesus just healed someone, would you be like, how come I can't do that? You'd be like, oh no, that's Jesus. Like, of course Jesus can. And some of us, we have that attitude with some people of God, right? Oh, of course. You know, you guys know Teacher Chris in youth. A lot of the youth kids have that about Teacher Chris. They're like, oh, Teacher Chris can do that, but I can't. We have that attitude. But the disciples didn't have that about Jesus. They were like, Jesus, how come I can't do it? I should be able to. Everything you do, I do, right? I have the same Holy Spirit. I don't have a junior Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that's in you is inside of me. How come I can't do what you do? And then Jesus says, this kind can only be driven out by what? Prayer and fasting. Now, there's a curious thing there. Was Jesus praying or fasting? Maybe he was fasting. If he was, he doesn't make it clear that he was, you know, we can't see, but we know that he wasn't praying. Meaning what? Meaning he was living a lifestyle of praying and fasting. Where at that moment, he didn't have to, you know, because when problems arise, we draw from the reservoir that's inside of us, right? And Jesus didn't have to, like a lot of us, what we do is when we meet a problem, we go to the prayer closet and we start to pray, right? We start to fast. You know, in Korean churches, a lot of times, the reason why you fast is right before, you know, you're starting praying for your husbands, right? You start praying for your wives. All of a sudden, you start fasting for 40 days. You know? You start praying and fasting for your schools. Praying and fasting for your work. As though your work, your spouse, your school is your salvation. But like I talked about last week, those things are not your salvation. If anything, if you don't have Jesus, those things are the very things that are going to make you live a life of emptiness. If you have Jesus, no matter what circumstance you're in, your life is purposeful. Your life is successful. Amen. If Jesus is in you, because Jesus is the purpose of our lives. He is a purpose. I talked about this last week. The moment I believed in Jesus, for real, the moment he entered my life, it was literally like the light was turned on. It wasn't a gradual process. It wasn't like, you know, the first year I felt a little better, and the second year I felt, it wasn't like that. The moment he entered my life had purpose. And even though, even before I knew I was supposed to be a pastor or a preacher, my life had purpose because Jesus entered my life. Just like Simeon, I was like, I'm ready to die. Because Jesus is a point of our lives. And the way, the reason why fasting and prayer works is because what you're doing in fasting, you know, I've talked to a lot of youth kids, and you know, I actually repented of this. I'm just gonna be real, really quick. I repented of this today, where I realized that I'm really driving the kids. And our kids, you can tell, right? Those kids came into worship. You know, they're extraordinary kids, but I've been driving them. You know, I've been driving these kids, and I think I've just been trying to force them to worship God, and I need to calm down a little bit. But when it comes to, when I talk to a lot of the youth kids, and when we do a lot of kind of talking, I'm like, hey, do you want God? Why don't you want God and all this stuff? A lot of them say, I don't really want God. And actually, if I were to ask a lot of you, I think I would get a similar answer. Is you don't feel the hunger inside of you for God. But it's not because you don't need God or actually want God. You know, when I was in elementary school, what I used to do, I don't know if you've ever done this too, we would eat paper. You guys ever do that? Don't judge me. we would tear out paper from our notebooks and we would, you've never done that? Someone told me it was organic. Amen? I don't know. But we would eat, like in the middle, I was just dumb, stupid, and we would just, you know, and we would eat paper, and you know, I would kusing it later, but we would eat paper, and after we ate paper, I wouldn't feel hungry. It's like that. With a lot of the things that we're eating, there's the reason why you're not hungry for God is because you're filling your heart with other stuff. And what you're doing is you're numbing that hunger. But I've talked about this before. Your hunger is a propeller. The hunger. It says in Matthew, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Amen. Your poverty of spirit is what's supposed to be driving you to God. Your poverty of spirit. That's why a lot of people meet God at the end of their rope. When they have nothing to turn to, all of a sudden they meet God. Does God only show up when your life sucks? No, there's plenty of people who meet God when things are going well too. But those people learn how to have poverty in spirit. Most people meet here because they have nothing else to hold on to. Nothing else to feed their souls with. All the junk food that they're feeding their souls with, so they don't feel hungry. But you know, human beings, we're really self-centered, right? Amen. We're very self-centered. We're very selfish beings. So unless you feel it, you won't do it. Amen. Is that just me? Unless you feel it, unless there's like a hunger pang, it's not going to move you to prayer. That's why Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. And what fasting does, fasting isn't necessarily, you know, fasting is not dieting. Amen. Fasting is not just not eating food. Fasting is what you're doing is there's something that your heart is eating and getting sustenance from. It could be Netflix. Come on, somebody. It could be comfort food. Amen? Anybody? Just me. It could be comfort food. It could be social media. It could be winning. Hello, Koreans. In the house. It could be winning. It could be performance. It could be people. It could be your beauty. Whatever it is, what your spirit, hello, what your spirit is doing is you're eating that thing, and that thing is killing your hunger. When that hunger was supposed to drive you to God, to get real food. Jesus, that's why he described himself as food and drink all the time. He said, for you, real food is to know me. That is eternal life, is to know Jesus. And you know, that's what I've been realizing is this thing is real. It's like when I spend time with God, I walk away really satisfied, really satisfied. And it's like the things that I used to do to fill up my heart loses its allure. Those things don't attract me anymore. The reason why you have certain addictions is because you've never tasted the real food.
So the reason why we get addicted is because the thing that you're trying to feed, it has an insatiable space that can only be filled with an eternal being. It can only be filled with God. And if you try to fill it with anything else, all it's going to do is it's going to make you more aware of the space that is lacking. And that space is infinite. It's to the point where it drives people to depression. It drives you deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And of course, there's no thing, even human love is not enough to fill that void. Only God's love is enough. So what you do in fasting is you voluntarily carve out something that not necessarily is bad. You could fast something bad as well, but you probably want to get rid of it altogether. But it doesn't have to be necessarily bad, but what you do is you carve it out, and what that does is it makes your hunger sharp. There's something in your life right now where if you were to cut that thing off, you'll realize just how hungry you really are. All of a sudden, you'll realize, you'll get desperate. There was a time where, man, if I didn't go on Facebook one day, I'd start panicking. You know, I was so addicted. There was something about Facebook that was feeding my soul. You know, I'm really prone to feeding my soul with people's attention, people's approval. So Facebook is like a no-no for me. And even if I go one day, I would start feeling this thing. What is that thing for you? What is that? Because chances are that is your main choice food. That's your main choice food right now. That thing that you're filling your heart with, that's your choice food. And some of you, I bet most of you guys are thinking, man, I'm not that hungry. I beg to differ. You're actually starving. It says Anna was spending day and night for 80 what years just on the presence of God. She knew that God is enough. So what is that thing for you? There's a story in the book of Daniel where the king commanded. So Daniel was under the king. They were eunuchs. They were supposed to serve the king. And the king commanded the eunuchs to eat from the king's table, but that required them to break the law of God. So Daniel actually says to the staffer, he says to the staffer guy, he says, "Can I not eat from the king's table? I will only eat vegetables and water." That's where we get Daniel fast from. And he says, "Test me for 10 days and see if I am not healthier than those guys who are eating all the things that the world has to offer." And he actually gets tested. And after 10 days, they found that he was multiple times smarter, multiple times healthier than the other people. And what he did was he demonstrated that God is enough. He demonstrated that God is enough. And only those who have tested this know. And I've been learning to test this. Now, a couple of tips with prayer is don't go into prayer. This is just practical tips. There's one tip that I've learned is set a timer. What I've noticed is a lot of times when we enter into a place of prayer, we pray and the whole time, because we don't have a set time, you just kind of sit down and you're like, "I'm going to pray." And the whole time you're praying, you're fighting with that desire to go check your Instagram. The whole time you have thousands of thoughts. Am I right? You know, you have all these different things that you could be doing at that moment. Isn't it so inconvenient every time you sit down to pray, you all of a sudden remember 10 things that you're supposed to be doing at that moment. All of a sudden someone texts you. All of a sudden you remember, "Oh shoot, I forgot to send that email," right? I don't think that's coincidence, right? So what I've learned to do, and I've done that before where I prayed for like 10 minutes, but the whole time all I'm doing is fighting that desire. Fighting that distraction. What I've learned to do and what we've been doing is set a timer for 10, 20, 30 minutes. And just during that time, you're blocked with a date with God. And then just seek Him, drink from Him, eat of Him, drink from the scriptures, a couple chapters a time, and test if you are not healthier than all the other people who have every privilege to eat from the king's table. If you are not healthier. So Anna just like Simeon, was able to recognize Jesus. Do you guys realize that Jesus did not come with armor? Jesus came in the form of a baby. Only these two people recognized Jesus. A lot of times, Jesus will come in a form that you do not recognize. And it will take for your spiritual sense to be keen to be able to recognize Jesus. And the first way is spending time in prayer, spending time in the Word, spending time cultivating a heart of obedience. But today, it's praying and fasting. But not just praying and fasting when you're trying to get something of the world. Do you guys see how that's upside down? That's upside down because you are using Jesus to get something that is temporary, as if this is Jesus. That's upside down. You are supposed to fast what's temporary to get what's eternal. Amen. So my prayer and my challenge for us today is pick something right now that you know if you fast that thing, you're going to be in bad shape. Whatever it is, it could be anything. Fast that thing for a week. And whenever you feel that hunger pang, see, some of you guys get anxious even imagining fasting it, right? Whenever you get that hunger pang, use that hunger to drive yourself into the presence of God. And I guarantee you, you will walk away not only satisfied, you will walk away transformed. You will walk, because one of the secrets of Christianity is that you become what you behold. As the Bible says, as you behold the glory of God, we become the glory of God, an increasing likeness of God. So you walk, as you behold him, it's the same with idols. It says in Jeremiah, they followed worthless idols, so they became worthless. But as you behold the glory of God will be manifest in you. Amen? Amen. So I want to give you about a minute. We don't need like songs or anything. Just close your eyes and just think about one thing. Pick one thing that you're going to fast this week. We're going to do this anyway. As of this month, we're not doing the fasting challenge, but those challenges were not meant to be one-time thing. They were not meant to be just for that month. Everything we're doing, we're building upon. What is something that you're going to fast? And don't fast something that's easy. Fast something that you know that your spirit depends on for food. And it's not necessarily food. What is that thing? If you've thought of it, let's take a couple of minutes to share with our neighbors so that they can keep us accountable. And then I'll pray and I'll close. Go for it. Okay. Did y'all choose? Let it be something that's not too vague. It has to be specific. Because if it's vague, you won't be able to know if you succeeded or not. Like, I'm gonna fast being sad. Like, how? You know, it's a good thing, but it has to be something that you can measure. It has to be something that you can show, okay? So pick something specific and then pray for your neighbor and then I'll pray for us. All right, so keep them accountable, guys. The person sitting next to you, pray for your neighbor and I'll close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we lift up these items, God, to you. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would give us the power to be able to fast and pray. Lord, that you would increase our hunger, that sharp pain, God, in our spirits. And Lord, I pray that when that sharp pain comes, God, I pray that we would not shy away, but we would be driven in to a new realm of intimacy with you. Lord, that is what we desire, and that's what we know we desire, God. But sometimes our flesh is so weak, and we ask, God, that you would give us the decision-making power, God, to be able to fast and pray. And as we do, I pray, God, that you would help us recognize Jesus throughout our day. Even in unexpected packages, God, even in unexpected places, that we would be able to see you and recognize you, Lord. As we look at you, God, that we will grow more and more in likeness to your glory, God. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.